Hey, everybody. We're Bob and Audrey, a husband and wife team.
And this is our podcast all about relationships.
We are marriage and relationship enthusiasts, believing there is a God-given design to thrive in both life and love.
And we think that Jesus is amazing and worth following with everything you have. On this podcast, we are putting together the truths and best practices we have learned over our 35 years of marriage, and more specifically, over the past 18 years, where we have spent our lives helping people love their relationships.
After getting through our own family crisis, we became passionate about rescuing and mentoring others. We have authored numerous books and developed on-demand courses that can be found on our website, lovemarriedlife.com.
And with all that said, let's dive into the episode for this week.
Thanks for joining us for this week's podcast of All About Relationships. Audrey, it's good to be together.
I know. I love it.
Here we are again. Listeners.
I love to hear from you. And I love to hear how your relationships are going.
It's, you know, doing a weekly podcast, in many ways, you think, oh, it'd be just so easy. But as soon as you get one done, you're on to the next one. And so here we are. Last week's podcast, I think, Audrey, it struck a chord with many of our listeners.
Yes, we got some responses.
And so we got some good response from that. And so we just thought, well, hey, you know, we'll just carry on that theme and we'll kind of add to it just an emphasis of kindness this week.
Yes, exactly. Because last week, talking about recovering from a lie, we talked about even when the person receiving the confession can be kind and can be loving and safe for that person, it's amazing what kindness can do to bring resolve and to bring clarity and to bring safety, even in a potentially, you know, scary.
I was going to say volatile,
but you know, I don't want to be too dramatic.
No, but I mean, because this is something that you and I have had to work through. If I can just say it that way,
absolutely.
I would imagine, you know, it's easy to say that, you know, the first 17, you know, 20 years of our life, you know, together,
we didn't know how to navigate
in an unhealthy
kind of
way. We avoided conflict.
Yes.
And because of that, we had accumulated, you know, unresolved conflict, and we were, you know, creating pain in the relationship.
And we also managed to have this dysfunctional cycle where if something was unsaid, it just got swept under the rug because we didn't feel safe enough to talk to each other about certain things. And we just never talked about them.
And I hid behind justice.
Right.
Okay.
That's true.
I hid behind being right. I mean, there's again a litany of issues that I had, but you know, one of them was just simply I was always, you know, there was just a fear of rejection, maybe fear of abandonment, but there was a fear, and the fear was if you really knew me, you wouldn't love me. That was one of them, and just this needing. Or this sense of having to be right. And I've said it, and you've heard me, you know, many times before, any time that you demand, you know, the need or demand, you know, of being right, you know, I just need to force it. I'm right. Typically, you will damage and unintentionally, you do walk away from a relationship. But I also know that there are those that, I mean, they just harden their heart and it's just like, no, you know, until, you know, you come my direction, there will be no relationship.
And what I've seen is this gigantic, amazing transformation in you, Bob, that I've experienced where you are just so kind and so loving and so safe for me. And so it's a gradual movement towards you, but I'm like, wow, he's really preferring me. He's so kind. You're such a strong guy, Bob, but in your kindness, I believe it's been a real stepping stone to you and I living in harmony. And so I think that kindness is worth talking about. And I can see how I remember one time, Bob, I don't know if you remember this. You said, I'm not a nice guy. but I'm a kind guy. And like, you know what I'm saying? But I just want to tell you, I think you're a nice guy.
Oh, thanks, babe.
And you're a kind guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're kind.
Well, let's just be super sweet to each other for the whole podcast.
Oh, wouldn't that be good? Just remember that the quality of our relationships, they can never exceed our personal wholeness.
True.
Hear this, people.
Yes.
Our personal wholeness is the direct result of us accepting and experiencing God's limitless love.
Hmm.
So I really needed to, you know, say that because, again, I'm not that good. I'm not that kind or nice, but I do know the kindness of God.
Yes.
And I do experience that love. And when I do, then his realities can actually really become mine. And now you see, I want to pursue you. You see, I want us to have a vibrant, mutual sharing of life and love one with another. We have a family. We have children. You know, we have generations that will be soon on their way. But I don't want to alienate myself just because I'm being critical or because I've allowed my heart to harden. And so it really is experiencing the extravagance of God's love, how kind he is to me,
and
how merciful he is to me,
and no one
he is to me, how full of love and grace and favor, compassion, tenderness he is to me. So when that becomes my reality, now what I begin to really experience is the harmony of my life with his life, his reality is becoming mine. Then we get to change.
Yeah, exactly. Because no one's exempt. I think that what I was going to come into, Bob, and I hope this isn't being, I hope this feels right to you, but some people are more naturally kind. Like I'm.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
For example, you. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on to that right there. Hold on to that.
Yeah.
We were able to meet one of our listeners recently.
Yes.
Elizabeth and Steve.
Oh yeah. Love them.
And they made a comment. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Because we were able to have a conversation. Oh, but you said this, and then you said that.
Because they listened to our podcast. I'm like,
you
whoa.
You really listened to them. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But they said this. They listened to you on 1.5 speed.
Oh, yeah.
So when the laugh comes through. There you go.
Yeah, it goes on 1.5 speed. So if you're listening to me on 1.5 speed, I just really gave you something to listen to. No, but you're not exempt from being kind if you have a personality of being right and a personality of justice. That doesn't mean you're exempt from being kind. And I just wanted to say, Bob, that
he's a just God.
Yeah, and you're kind of a just and strong man, but yet I see the kindness as being one of the most valuable. And
I want that to be my strength.
It's a magnetic thing for me to move into someone with kindness. And then also my dad is a kind man.
Yes, merciful.
Loving, compassionate, tender, gentle, fun, this guy. So my dad's name is Willard.
Almost, you know, to a default. And that's, you know, kind of where people are. You know, it's just like, can it be too much? And
he is just that sweet and that fun.
He really is
that
sincere. Sweet.
Some people who are super kind are sometimes misinterpreted or misunderstood as being insincere, but it is 100% sincere love coming from this man. So I wanted to introduce you to my dad. He's going to be 82 next month. And he's just got the energy of a teenager. You know what I'm saying? Like he's kind of always been a very determined, kind person.
And people that know, you know, our marriage story.
Yeah.
He was the first one, you know, to celebrate, you know, our youngest son, Robert.
Yes.
I mean, amazing. It was just so
like
good.
Mercy is his first response.
Yes.
His first response is mercy always. And I grew up with that, him being
and then
my dad.
Him, you know, with the statement, you know, that so many are familiar with, you know, that's what you did, but it's not who you are.
Yes.
Wow. That's a heart of a father. That's the heart of God. So this is your dad. He's just an exceptional person.
He really is. And so is my mom. They're both incredible. So they both love each other so much.
Yes.
And they were at Costco this week. I had to tell you this story. Just, you know why?
And they share a common denominator that you exemplify as well. And that is just sheer determination.
Yes. We all do. me, like if I get determined.
Almost to a fault.
Fault. Yes, absolutely. Like if I decide I need to do something, I don't ask for help. I just do it. But I come by it honestly because last week mom and dad were in Costco.
Yeah.
And there was a mattress on sale, and they thought, "Whoa, we really need a new mattress."
Last day,
$150 discount.
We're gonna buy it now.
We this is the last day of the sale. We're gonna get this. We're gonna do it. Well, it didn't. They bought a king size mattress that did not fit in their car. So they, do you know those Costco carts that have the rails?
Big orange carts. Yeah,
the one with the rails. And so what they did was they couldn't fit in the trunk. Dad just runs over to get a cart, and he said, "Betty, you drive home. I'm going to walk this.
I'm going to push this cart all the way
home. I'm going to push this cart home." So
you have to, you know, kind of just visualize this.
This 80-something-year-old man.
When I first heard the story, I thought it was, you know, a full bed. But it was actually a bed in a box.
Right.
But those suckers are heavy.
Huge.
And I mean, now he's pushing this orange
Costco cart down
over
the street.
Yeah, down speed the bumps. Sidewalk, cross intersections, over speed bumps. Oh my.
When we heard about this, our son-in-law Daniel lives a mile away, and he goes, "Grandpa," he goes, "people would have seen you doing that thinking, doesn't that guy, old man, have any kids or grandkids?
Doesn't anyone love this man
who's going to help him carry? He has to walk home from Costco
with
this mattress."
But I'm sure
they
just saw the determination in his eyes.
Yeah, I know that look in his eyes. So that was funny enough. And that the effort, no question.
Yeah.
We're just going to take this thing home.
He got it home.
He's unstoppable. So then my mom says, "Well, you haven't heard the end of the story."
No. Then he had to get the king size mattress, the old one, off his bed, out of the house. And then he hauls in the new one and installs it himself, puts it on the bed. He's exhausted.
Right. And so my mom insisted that he return the cart the next day.
Yeah.
And then
we thought, that was the end of the story.
Crazy story. My parents. I want to be just like them when I grow up.
Well, you will be.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. So then, a few nights ago, we're over there for dinner, and mom says, "Oh, you haven't heard the half of it."
You didn't hear the other part?
Oh, yeah. So she said the other day, Dad disappears for 3 hours. She doesn't know where he went. He came back.
That's another gift he has.
Yeah, he doesn't tell. Comes back all full of sweat and like just exhausted. She goes, "Where have you been?" He goes, "Well, I couldn't fit that old mattress in the dumpster, so I had to cut it into pieces." He describes how
he tried to put it on a table saw. He tried to cut it. And then it hit a spring, and the spring wrapped itself around the blade.
Oh, my gosh. I'm having stories of my dad destroying this mattress.
Determination.
Because he doesn't want to pay the people to pick it up. So he made sure it got into pieces.
He got it into pieces.
And into the dumpster, which is just amazing to me. I want to tell a story because it's plain old funny, but also just because he's one of our examples. We've often talked about this, Bob, of him being just so naturally kind. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, there's something about kindness that is an enormous strength, and probably the most important virtue or attribute of kindness is that it's the kindness of God that leads one to repentance. Mm-hmm. God is so kind to us that it makes me want to change. Like repentance is a change of mind, a change of thought, change of behavior, change of habit, and it's when he's so kind to me, I can't help but just want to be kind to everyone around me, especially those in my family. It's one thing to be kind to strangers, but being kind to your spouse is an incredible, as I said, the stepping stone to harmony, living in harmony.
Since we are, you know, talking about your dad, I just wanted to, you know, talk about your mom, and your mom is one of the most compassionate.
Yes.
You know, when she sees a need, you know, she really feels the need and is just so willing to involve herself.
Her empathy is incredible.
So really, really
and
big.
And it results in a lot of prayer. Like she just loves praying for people.
And if there's a season, if there's ever been a season of life that we've experienced, and I'm, you know, speaking to you, our listeners, it's now.
Mm-hmm.
And if ever there's a time where we need to be a little more kind, Right. It's now.
If there's ever been a time when we need to rise above our emotions and really choose, it's now.
Yeah.
And choosing kindness is always a good choice. And you might say, wait a minute, is it always right to choose kindness? And I just have to say a resounding yes.
It's the very nature and character of God.
Exactly. And it's always the right choice.
Yeah.
Kindness is always the best response.
So we've experienced, and I mean that collectively, we've experienced a season of change.
Yeah.
And whether that, you know, be going from the summer to autumn to fall, you know, those are the seasons. And in the seasons of life, they change the years. Mm-hmm. There's seasons in economy. There's seasons of health, you know, whatever it might be. But there are seasons. But what we need to remember is that with God, He doesn't change.
Yeah, that's true. Even with the seasons.
But my seasons change.
That's true.
And He changes not.
True.
And so He is just so extremely faithful. Therefore, I have a real responsibility to have a current, alive, interactive relationship with a faithful God who is kind. Because in the seasons of my life, as they change, as my children grow, as you know, I have business challenges, as you know, our relationship, whatever it might be, the season that I'm in, I can depend on the faithful one who is so kind to demonstrate it to me that I might influence and change my world. This is me. Bringing heaven
in
on earth.
In every season.
Yes, underscoring. In every season.
See, I'm underscoring that. Babe. I'm underscoring that because that is so true.
Did you catch that?
I did. Because seasons do change, but kindness never does. It never changes.
God doesn't change.
He doesn't change. And so why
there's a way I can demonstrate kindness.
In every season. Mm-hmm. In every season, there's a way. Even when it's hard, you know? Mm-hmm. And when
people are experiencing it now.
Totally.
You know, kids are, you know, home more often than ever before, going to school, husbands and wives working out of the same space. You know, things have changed. The seasons changed, but there is a grace. There is enablement and empowerment for God for kindness in relationships and in the home.
Mm-hmm. This is the perfect day for kindness, right this minute, never an exception. And you know, when we've received kindness, I think it's a daily thing. It's like I can think of monumental times when I've received kindness, but really I receive His kindness every day. Like God's kindness is sort of like His mercy being new every morning.
Yeah,
He's very kind to me. I don't have to wonder if tomorrow I'm going to wake up and He's not going to be kind.
Yeah. The challenge, you know, that I think many of us face is it deserving? Are you deserving of kindness?
You know what? When you receive kindness, when you don't deserve it, is very
well. That's
impactful.
That's what I wanted to to get to. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, you know, we withhold kindness simply because we do become critical and judgmental, and it's almost as though that you want the other person to suffer
it.
Just a bit, a little bit longer, so that when I am kind, now you can see how wonderful I am. Oh, there's a selfish twist right there.
I think that when you give kindness when it is in a season and when they don't seem deserving, then it's actually even more powerful than ever. Because I'm thinking about, you know, thinking about kindness, just this love is kind. It's just, it's the definition of love.
Yeah. But in order to demonstrate kindness or extend it, let's say I'm on the giving side.
Yeah.
I have to know kindness.
Yes.
I can't give anything that I don't have. So here's what I want to jump into.
Okay.
Because, you know, for you and I, it's very, very different, you know, in this illustration that we're sharing.
Hmm.
Because I want you to recall really three significant moments where you felt undeserving of kindness. And I remember when we came to Arizona for the very first time, and we're in the midst of our crisis, and we're just met by this most beautiful woman.
Yeah. I want to just preempt this because I wasn't even thinking about when I least deserved it. When I was starting this out, I just thought of, when did I receive extreme kindness in my life? I thought right. through my whole 55 years. I could think of a myriad of times when I sure. received kindness, but when did I feel the most, when did I, and it's a good question for you to ask yourself. Yeah. When can you remember a moment, an actual moment memory, when you received kindness and I thought of it, and out of my whole life, it brought me to the moment that I had just told Bob about 3 days previous that I had had an affair. I had quit the affair. We flew to Phoenix and we had told them that
getting help.
They were going to help. You hear us talking about Leo, but Leo had an assistant, a lady that worked with him, and her name was Gwen. Mm-hmm. And Gwen is one of the most beautiful, soft-hearted, loving, kind, compassionate, empathetic women. And when I mm-hmm. walked in, she was the first person I met. She didn't know what I looked like, but she said, wait. She says, are you Audrey? Because she knew my story from 3 days previous. And I said, yes. And immediately her arms she just put herself around me in a way, and she held me. Mm-hmm. She held me, Audrey. I've been waiting to meet you, to hold you. I've been waiting to meet you. And I was just in the extreme self-hatred and guilt and confusion and chaos. And then here came these arms of love to hold me and show me kindness. She didn't know a thing about me. She didn't know any of my good attributes. She didn't know anything. All she knew is what I had done. And yet she gave me so much kindness.
Love.
Like, it's one thing for people to know you and love, say, let me be kind to you.
Kind.
But she just loved me without knowing me. She just hugged me. And
I observed it.
Do you remember it?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. I'll never forget that hug. Sometimes a hug can change someone's life. Like, I'm an example of it.
I was expecting, I'm so glad you're here.
We're going to fix you.
We got this schedule, and we got this plan, and we got it all made up, and we'll fix you.
And all and it was a hug.
They held us.
Held us and held us.
And loved us.
And that kindness.
What a profound demonstration of the kindness of God, softening and leading one's heart to repentance.
I don't know
I really
you.
Thought it was, you know, more about you. But I remember that day. And it was, I needed it as well. You see, when kindness is demonstrated, when you witness profound kindness, you might think or feel it's a little reckless.
Yeah.
Well, that's what love
looks like. Isn't this just too merciful? Aren't I just being too easy?
Yeah.
And so so it's interesting to me now that we're talking about it on the podcast, that I did think of on my worst day is when I'm most impacted by kindness.
Yeah.
So you are probably meeting people on their worst days. So your kindness is really impacting people. Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah, to love people when they're on their worst day. Don't judge people on their worst days.
Don't presume you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just love on them. Mm-hmm. I prayed for a girl today during an event. I haven't told you about a non-event, a counseling session today. And, you know, she said in these two, she just received a very shocking news about her husband. And she says, and I can't even feel Jesus. I said, okay. She stopped and she began to feel the whole Jesus holding her in her moment of shock. Mm-hmm. And in that, she received kindness. Mm-hmm. She needed that love. Anyway, you guys, we get to be love on this earth. We get to have, you know, we have the authority to love people because we're created in God's image. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I thought of that one for sure. And then I thought of another, what is another kind moment? And I thought of a moment that actually happened in my secret place when a couple years after, you know, our crisis moment, I saw myself in a beautiful meadow, and it was the first time I'd gotten out of the prison and the shame. And Jesus was there smiling face to face with me, and his smile said it all. His kind smile said it all. And he gave me this gift of the robe of righteousness. And he says, I'm going to be the one that tells you who you are. I'm the only one that's allowed to tell you who you are. And when he gave me that robe of righteousness, Bob, that beautiful dress, I wanted to live up to it. I thought, if I'm wearing this beautiful white dress, I am this person. I am pure. I am innocent. I am a Jesus girl. I belong to him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to live up to that. Like when it says the kindness of God leads one to repentance, the kindness that God gave me led me to absolutely think in new ways, behave in new ways.
Mm-hmm. Along that line, you know, I've used it many, many times before, you know, with regards to, you know, kindness, you know, because again, I don't know of anyone who is more right than God himself, but he chose that in his rightness, he would make a way for me. Mm. He involves himself with the consequences of our choices and he makes a way out. How kind is that? And, you know, and that is, you know, 2 Corinthians 5. In all of this that we experience from him, it's his gift, you know, to bring us back to himself. You know, God was in Christ reconciling, you know, me to himself, no longer counting my sins against me. To reconcile, he takes that which is incompatible, makes it compatible. He involves himself, and he makes a way out for me. In kindness, it's not that you turn a blind eye and you ignore it. You know, it's not that you just, you know, say it doesn't
happen,
mean
it didn't even happen, didn't even mean anything.
And you know, in the same way, you know, with forgiveness, it's not that you condone the behavior. So in kindness, it's not that you're condoning behavior, but you move towards the individual, and in that you remind them. Let me remind you who you are. You see, let me move towards you.
See, when you started loving me like that, you gave me the gift of trust. So it wasn't about just forgiving me.
No.
You gave me a present when you said, I'm going to just trust you to be yourself, to be fun again, to laugh, to be free, to be, you know, completely alive in your childlike heart. And that childlike wonder, you just set me free.
Mm-hmm.
And you chose to trust
because
me.
What we don't want to do is create this weird codependent relationship between one another.
Because not only I'll be kind to you and that I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to trust you again.
But, you know, listeners think and hear and they say, oh, but wait a minute. What if I, are you
What if she does it again?
Yeah. And can you really trust them? When, you see, and so it's, you have to be careful because you need to have your identity, your dignity, value, and worth intact. And again, the other person, you don't allow them to violate you. No one else is allowed to tell you who you really are. But for me, you know, I'll set some healthy boundaries, but that doesn't preclude me from being kind to you.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't preclude me, you know, from showing mercy
gentleness,
towards you.
Compassion, tenderness.
Yeah.
All and, those kind words.
And too often we think that if I do, then all I'm doing is condoning behavior.
Or enabling me to continue my
behavior.
No,
I'll set some healthy boundaries.
Not only did it not make me want to continue my behavior, what it did is when you gave me the gift of trust, that gift you gave me of trust is so precious that I'm going to cherish it. Like I'm going to, again, the kindness of God leads one to repentance. Like the kindness of Bob, you know, like you giving me kindness brought me to a place of repentance. Like I want to live up to everything that who you're trusting me to be.
And then we begin to relate in a whole new way.
Yes.
You see, we had some, you know, destructive cycles in the past.
For sure.
Absolutely. So it's not going back, but rather it's changing. It's moving towards, you know, the intimacy that we've always wanted,
right.
A vulnerability, transparency, openness and honesty. It's moving in that, you know, direction, but then we begin to relate on a whole another level. And again, here's our big buzzword, it seems, for this year, and that is we begin to harmonize.
Yeah, harmonize. Harmony is the goal.
All of a sudden, there's harmony that begins to take place. Why? Because I've chosen to take personal responsibility for me, and I harmonize with heaven.
Right.
When I harmonize with heaven, now I have a far greater capacity. I become a safe person.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can begin to harmonize with you.
Right. And then I do the same. And I just love the scripture in 1 Peter when it says, this is the goal to live in harmony. So what you just said, like it's actually a great goal. Just why not fight anymore? Like why do people think they have to argue? Like, there's just no reason, because this is our goal, to live in harmony, because that is how we demonstrate the affection and the love. And it even says kindness towards each other. And let humility describe who you are, as you dearly love one another. Those are soft words. Mm. Those are tender words.
Yeah. I was reading that in the Passion Translation.
Yeah.
1 Peter 3:8-9.
Yeah.
It says, now this is the goal.
Yes.
I like that. This is the goal, to live in harmony with one another and demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, and kindness towards other believers. And the what they're describing here is family.
Yes.
This, I believe, needs to be a characteristic of relationship within family that sets us apart.
Yeah.
You know, this is the very nature and character of God being demonstrated through us.
Mm-hmm. And it also says to not retaliate when someone treats you wrong.
Yeah.
Like, what a concept, Bob. If someone didn't retaliate, then there's no fight. If someone doesn't retaliate, or don't insult the ones that insult
verse 9
you.
Verse 9 actually says, never retaliate.
Yeah, don't.
Don't. Just don't do
when
it.
When someone treats you wrong, don't insult those who insult you. Mm-hmm. But respond by speaking blessing, because blessing is what God promises to give us.
Okay.
Okay.
But this is, he has given you, has, meaning past tense. But what I bring out here, Audrey,
yeah,
is speaking a blessing.
Yes.
You see, this is words.
This is words. Back the, about using the power of words.
These are words.
You can't speak a blessing without speaking. Like, you got to say the words. Blessing you.
Say the words.
Say the words. Say the words.
No, but it's really real.
Yeah.
It seems as though we don't have a problem correcting others.
Out loud with words.
Out loud.
But when it comes to speaking blessing, Bob, I speak the blessing.
When you begin to speak kindness
over you. Speak,
you know,
kindness.
When you begin to call out the truth of their very nature and character, that I believe you.
Yes.
You know, that
I believe
that
you.
I'm moving towards you, that
yes.
You begin to, you know, articulate, mm-hmm. you know, well, you know, the common, you know, shared core beliefs that we have. This is who we are. You see, this, because if not, then I'm what? I'm probably cursing.
Right.
But what I want to do is I want to bless.
And it says.
And so I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to say words.
Words.
Kind words.
Wow. And it actually says, whoever, if you want to embrace true life, and I love this, and find beauty in each day. Okay, that's me. My hand is up. That's me. Yeah, I want to embrace.
You do.
I am hugging and holding, because that's the word embrace.
Mm-hmm.
I want to embrace true life, and I do want to find beauty in every day. Then I must stop speaking evil, hurtful words or any deceit. And then I'll just turn away from what's wrong and cultivate what is good and eagerly pursue peace. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship. And that is my prize.
Yeah.
Well, it's so black and white clear in the scripture. Like, man, we are allowed to live in amazing peace and kindness with each other.
Mm-hmm.
What a gentle way to live. What mm-hmm. a fun way to live. Like, what a land of, like, easy cultivating love and laughter. Like, mm-hmm. laughter is, and dancing is cultivated in this kind of an atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. When we talk about these type of commodities that we have, you're never in lack.
Right.
Because God truly is our source.
Yeah.
And because of that, I really have more than enough.
Right.
Therefore, I'm never in lack and I never lose. But the reputation of Father God is so profound.
Mm-hmm.
Luke chapter 6 and verse 35 and 36, it says, the Father is famous for his kindness.
I love it. He's famous for kindness.
Famous for his kindness.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
yes.
Because he heals even the thankless or the cruel. You see,
he's so
for
famous.
You and I, show mercy and compassion for others, just as your Heavenly Father overflows with mercy, kindness, and compassion.
I love my
for
dad
all.
In heaven. He's famous for kindness.
He is famous. What a reputation.
Yeah. He's just
I
famous.
Want to be
yes.
famous for kindness.
Bob, your name, Robert, means famous. So.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So you can be famous for kindness.
No, I just caught that.
Yeah. You can be famous for kindness.
Because I've always thought that was an interesting name.
Yeah.
You know, it's just famous. Like, oh, yeah, famous. Oh, well. Okay.
Famous for kindness.
I want to be famous.
Bob, kindness. You can accomplish by kindness what you cannot by force.
Ain't that the truth?
There you go.
Done. Well, look at you being all profound.
Oh, well, what wisdom is better than kindness? Huh. Kindness is amazing.
I've encouraged myself in today's podcast.
Yeah, good.
I really have.
Yes.
I hope, you know, for you as well, yes, you know, our listeners.
Too. And you too.
And for you too, Audrey.
And you too. It's but, fun talking about kindness.
I'm just, you know, sitting with my eyes closed, you know, as I know it's time to bring today's podcast to a close. And I'm just, again, I'm going to practice in faith. I'm going to see the beginning of the from the end. In faith, I'm going to trust my Father who is kind. You see, now I can move into my world and I can be kind to all.
You can be just like your dad.
I am going to be famous.
Yes.
For kindness.
You know what, Bob? You are famous for kindness. You've been kind towards me.
Kind of getting emotional over it.
Yeah. You've been kind to me, Bob. You have been kind to me and you're famous for your kindness, just like your dad in heaven. I love that. Wow. I hope you're inspired as we are.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Do we know how kind he has been to us? Wow.
I love him.
You see, I want us to get along. I want there to be harmony in your home. I want peace, you know, just to prevail in your relationships. But today, you know, just make sure you take some time and just let him who is so famous, your Heavenly Father, who is so famous for his kindness, saturate you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, you guys. Ooh. We love talking about you and your relationships with your kids. Hey, this is important for your kids, your mom and dad. Everybody. Yeah,
the seasons change.
Yes, but God doesn't.
He is so faithful.
But his kindness never changes.
Wow, so faithful.
I love it.
Okay, are we done, my love?
Yeah, I think we're done.
Did we cover everything?
Well, we talked about kindness and we promoted the kindness of God and we promoted that he's famous for kindness.
There was one other thing
that
I did want to touch on.
Yeah.
And that is, I want you to as well, in all of this, because I want you to be really, really kind to one another. That means you need to be a recipient of kindness.
Yes, not just a giver.
Not just a giver.
But a recipient.
Okay, so I don't want you to think, oh, this is something that I'm going to go do. The first thing,
honestly,
is be a recipient of that kindness. And
just like I received it from God in my secret place, I received his kindness, his smile, his future, how he restored my innocence. He just has given me so much kindness and friendship. And I am vindicated by my friendship with him. And his presence is my safe and calm retreat. And when that kind of kindness saturates and fills me, then I'm going to naturally just give it to others.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
So I'm reminded then of Isaiah 61, where it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to heal that broken heart and to proclaim to captives that they are released and prisoners are freed." You see, this is what Jesus has come. So this is why I'm saying you must be a recipient of kindness, because that is where then he's going to heal your broken heart. You see, let him heal your heart. And when you experience that kindness, then you can extend it to others. And then it goes on in verse 3. And I had a conversation with a gentleman recently. And just, you know, there was a fog. There was a funk that he was in. But there was a divine exchange. You see, beauty for ashes. But then I give him my mourning or my sorrow, you see, and he gives me a spirit of joy and celebration.
Ah, for that spirit of heaviness.
For the spirit of heaviness.
Yeah.
He will give me a garment of praise. And so I'm really trusting that for people today.
Good, that's for you.
As they experience the kindness of God, you know, because you may have been feeling just maybe just a little bit oppressed, but now you recognize how extravagantly loved you are and how kind your Heavenly Father is to you. And all of a sudden, you know, the heaviness is going to be lifted. The heaviness is lifting, and He is giving you a garment of praise, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
That's yours today.
Hey, because again, there's the portal.
Yeah.
There's the gateway of gratitude.
Yeah, to the land of hope.
Infinite possibilities.
Exactly. Wow. They're yours.
Loving it.
Well, you guys, we sure
Thank
do
you,
love
my love.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, listeners.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you. We really, really do. And thank you for, you know, just taking this journey and making a difference, because you are.
In your relationships. Mm-hmm. I just also want to mention, if any of you are thinking about your year-end giving, we love to provide this podcast for you guys. And if you are wanting to think of a foundation to give to, we have a foundation that helps people love their families. And you can donate to that at bobandaudrey.com. And at the bottom of that homepage, there's a donate button.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to give a year-end gift, we would really appreciate it. We don't mention that often, but we do want to mention that until the end of the year.
Right.
Just to give you that little heads up that that's an opportunity as well, if you feel so inclined.
Yeah. Thanks for your generosity.
Thanks, you guys.
Be kind. You know, there you go. Be kind to one another. Share the podcast
love
with others. And we'd love to hear from you.
Have a great
wonderful,
day.
Wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.